Welcome to the Seven Figure Leaders podcast. This podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners, and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. And there you'll find the link to apply. Welcome. And today we've got Gerard O'Donovan. Welcome, Gerard.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Tom.
Pleasure to have you. So you are a multi-founder. You've got an insurance business. You've got an education business. So best place to start, perhaps, by sharing a bit of background as to kind of who you are and how you got into business.
Okay.
How you got to be running the businesses that you're running.
Okay. Well, I'll keep it very short. When I left school, I joined the military. I spent 9 years in the Royal Marines, came out in my mid to late 20s, went into the insurance world, right at the bottom. You couldn't get lower. Commission only, cold calling, made no money for 4 months at all, struggling to pay my rent. Then I began to learn how to do that. Turned around, spent quite a few years in that industry, built up my own company called Noble Manhattan Financial Services. And I sold that in the early 90s to a company called Cornhill Insurance in Guildford, part of the Allianz Group. And then I went into personal development. So running courses on, you know, basic attitude, power of the mind, belief, presentation, goals. I loved that. And then I came across coaching around 95, 96, fell in love with coaching. There was nothing in the UK, so I trained with a couple of American companies back then, started to coach. And back in those days, you know, you'd say to someone, I'm a coach, and they'd ask, how much is a ticket to Manchester? How much is a ticket to Glasgow? The word life coach didn't quite exist back then. And then having done that for 4 years coaching day after day, we started to train coaches in the year 2000. And that's what I do now. I run a coach training school, and we train men and women to be magnificent life coaches, executive coaches, team coaches, and so on. So there you go, a potted history.
Okay, brilliant. So you're still running the insurance company, and then
I am
the educational coaching business, and you're running them both in tandem.
Indeed. And well, to be absolutely honest, my wife now runs the insurance business with her team. So yes.
Okay, great. So, I mean, we could go in either of those directions. But you've obviously founded two businesses. They're still going today, which means that they must be successful, and they've beaten the odds of the frightening survival statistics that are out there for small businesses. So what do you think it was with both of those businesses that enabled you to, well, firstly, stay in business, but stay in business for all this time, and obviously they must be doing well. So what do you think are the things that you implemented in those businesses, whether it was you personally or the business, if that makes
sure.
sense?
And that's a great question. And I work with an awful lot of business leaders, and my company, we're in 25 countries now, offices. And it's never, although it is a little bit about the leader, honestly, it's more about the team. It's the people you have with you and around you that will really make the business, you know? I know it's a cliche, and everyone says, you know, team together, everyone achieves more. That's been around for years, but it is so true. It's the people you have with you that make the difference.
And so can you give any kind of tangible examples to make that seem a bit more?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, so many of the people I work with in the company are just so much better than I am in almost every area. I mean, they really are. Some of them have an eye for detail I don't have. Some of them have an eye for mathematics and figures and finances that I don't have. Some have IT skills that I just don't have. So I'm more like a conductor pulling it together. If I had to, I couldn't do it on my own, Tom. I just couldn't. So a good example is we had a very difficult time during COVID. Our business, we deliver trainings all over the world. And of course, physical training, face-to-face. We have training centers in West Palm Beach, in Dubai, in Turkey, Romania, Bulgaria, Poland. And we used to run trainings every month in all these locations in different languages. COVID happened, and it was illegal. You literally could not meet with anyone face-to-face. And we had already signed contracts with hotels and conference centers for a year, 2 years in advance, because you get a better deal if you do that. And now we couldn't fulfill our promise, our contracts. And mind you, neither could they. Although some of them held us to it and we still had to pay. And that was such a difficult time. And if it hadn't been for the quality of the team, we got together, we brainstormed, we looked at other alternatives, we had great IT people, and we created online versions of our training, doing it on Zoom, on Microsoft Teams, on Hangouts, and had to redo a lot of our training programs. And it worked. You know, thank God it worked. But if it hadn't been for the guys and girls who had those skills, we would have been in deep trouble.
Yeah. And so what exactly is the business model then? So you became a coach yourself initially, and then you thought, oh, I'll train other people to do this. And then, so all of the training content, is that your brainchild?
Yeah, it is. So we have over 20 different programs. They teach people to be an international life coach or executive coach or team coach or parenting coach, creativity coach, couples coach. And we deliver them in 8 languages. And we're a UK company. Our head office is in Weymouth, right on the beach, right literally 50 meters from the beach in Weymouth. And we grew and grew. And then we hit a barrier. We just hit this blockage after about 8 years. And we just could. I was running all over the place, flying here, there, Amsterdam, Berlin, Paris. And I then read a book, actually. And a book most people are familiar with by Timothy Ferriss, The 4-Hour Work Week. Yeah. And it had a big impact. And I thought, I can do this. We can delegate. And we changed the model of the business completely in 2012.
In what way?
We went down what we call a master distributor route, where we appointed master distributors in different countries around the world. So they would become our mirror image, our representatives in those locations. And, you know, they have to do a 12-week training program, and it's quite rigorous. But now we have master distributors in 25 countries. So, and it has allowed us to expand in a sort of a seamless way without the stress and pressure of having to do it all ourselves.
I see. Yeah, that's really interesting. So the master distributor is kind of head of that country.
Indeed.
And then there is, and then they build a team under them of sales.
Yeah, we provide all the IP, intellectual property, all of the IT websites, all the learn, if you've heard of learning management systems, the student members area, the social media. I think we've got 48 Facebook groups and 22 LinkedIn groups and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and you name it. So we provide all of that, and the training and the support. And then they build a team in their country, and we train the team for them, so that they can then deliver in their own language.
I see. And so talking about that challenge that you faced, I guess it sounds like a bottleneck. It was
because we were trying to do everything from the UK, flying people here and there. Logistically, it became a nightmare. I was trying to do it all. I was burning out, literally traveling 28, 29 days of every month abroad. So by changing the model, it was a godsend to us. And we were able to reach a wider audience that we would never have reached before.
Yeah. So talking, obviously my background is finances, and that's what I support my clients with. So can you talk a bit about what challenges you've faced from a financial perspective over the years? I mean, from what you said, COVID would have been a massive cash crunch, perhaps. Perhaps when you hit that bottleneck and you initially pivoted, maybe you had margins significantly lower for a while.
We did. It was very difficult for many months because it's like an oil tanker turning around. It takes miles to make that pivot, that turn. So COVID took quite a few months to make that transition. But we're very fortunate. As a company, we have no borrowings of any kind whatsoever. We, in the early years, any profit we made, we just all reinvested. So fingers crossed, thank God. So we had no creditors breathing down our neck at all. And thank goodness I was worried we'd have to let people go. That was my big worry. And we didn't. So I was so, because our head office team have been with me now, some of them 18 years, 19 years, so it's a family thing really now. We know everyone. And our model, we're happy to share it. We with our master distributors, they deal with our customers, our students in their country. They collect the revenue and they pay our head office a royalty. It's a small percentage on a monthly basis. So based on what they do.
I see. Okay. And so have you got a finance, presumably you've got a finance team, in-house accountant?
We have two finance teams. We've got a UK company based here in the South Coast. John Kilby and his team, they've been with me for 17 years. And then we have a large team of chartered accountants based in India. They work with us full-time. It's a lady, her husband, and they have three full-time staff under them. And they are our day-to-day bookkeepers, accountants for all of the businesses worldwide.
Yeah. And so they give you accurate reporting every month and presumably you use that information to look forward.
Not every month, literally daily.
Okay. Yeah. Daily. And so looking forward, what are your ambitions for the business? Where do you want to take it?
Well, what we'd like to do, we're in 25 countries at the moment. According to the United Nations, there are 201 countries in the world. So if you look at it that way, we're not doing very well, Tom.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, we could say, hey, we're in 25 countries, we're multinational, but we're not in 175. So over the next 5 to 8 years, we'd like to expand into another 15 to 18 countries.
Okay. And is the strategy for doing that the same that you've done up until now with the master
distribution? It is, but it's all, yes, it is. It is. And it's not as easy as it sounds because it's all to do with finding the right partners.
Mm.
Partners who not only have an entrepreneurial spirit, an entrepreneurial heart, but they have leadership qualities because they will end up building a team of 45, 50, 60 people in their country. Customer care people, support people, finance, marketing, trainers, and others. So they, whoever they are, will need real leadership skills and people empathy skills.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how do you go about finding those people?
We do it in two ways. We have a large internal database that we've built up over the years of over 100,000. We've got our social media pages, groups, dozens and dozens of those. So we would put out the message on those, but we also do limited advertising on places like Facebook, LinkedIn, Google, and so on. And then we do what we call joint venture partnerships, where we would find a company that has a database that might be relevant, and we would negotiate with them about sending messages to their database and then rewarding them, you know, do a shared revenue if something comes from that.
Mm. Brilliant. And so shifting gears slightly, so you read 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss.
I did.
You did your best to implement that, which it sounds like you have. How do you, so you've got both businesses running in tandem.
Yes.
By the sounds of it, this one is growing pretty rapidly and you've got very ambitious plans. Mm. What about the insurance company and how do you juggle both without working?
Okay, so I'll tell you the story. Up until about 8 years ago, I ran both, and my wife was the financial director of both. And it didn't, I mean, we've been married nearly 40 years, but it didn't do our relationship any good, because we'd finish work and around the dinner table, I would be saying things. So did you do this today? Did you do that? Don't forget. And eventually she said, you know, we've got to stop this. It's no good. So we made a decision that she would leave. She would no longer be the financial director for Noble Manhattan. I would find someone else. And she would become the managing director of the insurance company, which is Westminster Insurance. And she would have complete autonomy to run that. And to be honest, she has done such a better job than I ever did. Oh, much better. And it's worked much better for our relationship as well. So although we both jointly own both businesses, I focus on running one, she focuses on running the other. And it works. It works rather well.
Okay. And so have you managed to instill the 4-hour work week? Are you working 4 hours a week, 4 hours a day?
No, I forgot to implement that part of it. So no, no, not at all. But we have a wonderful team, and I now do the bits that I enjoy doing, which is the training with our people, the engaging with them, the working with them. No, I don't enjoy the logistics part. I don't enjoy the finance part. I don't. So thank goodness we've got people to do that who are much better than me. And it allows me the freedom to focus on what I do like in the business.
Yeah, brilliant. So I'm interested in understanding how you went from the early days where you had the idea of coaching others on how to become a life coach, and how that evolved into the range of things that you now do. Because presumably you're not an expert at all those things, but you brought in experts at those things. So like, what was your kind of initial area of expertise? Like, what were the first steps you took? And then how did you kind of grow and evolve?
Yeah. So
your core area of expertise.
Exactly. So my area of expertise, to be frank, I guess, is rather limited. I am a master coach. I did my training, my master's degree is in psychology many years ago, but I'm not a practicing psychologist. And then I trained to be a coach. And in the world of coaching, you have ranks or levels, practitioner, senior, master. So I became a master coach. So what I loved doing was what we would call life coaching or executive coaching. I particularly like coaching business owners because I have an empathy with them. So that was my area. And I wrote the initial coach training programs, which were life coach training. So I wrote those.
For business owners. Yeah.
No, just general life coach training. And then later I wrote our program for manager as coach, leader as coach. So I wrote those. Then as we grew, we wanted to expand into other areas, team coaching, parenting coaching, creativity coaching. We brought in world experts, men and women who literally are the number one in these areas. And we brought them in to write those programs and help to manage them.
So they help manage them, and then the distribution is an entirely different team. And then how does the sales team sell the range of products instead of just one? Does that make sense? Because
sure,
a salesperson selling one thing is quite straightforward, but if you're selling like a complete range of different training programs, how do they go about
kind
of selling? Because you've got ICPs for all of them, I'm assuming.
Indeed. So we would start with, I suppose you've heard the word funnel, a broad funnel where we market to the world, would you be interested in being a professional and an international coach? Then we run online events on things like Zoom, Teams, Hangouts. They last for about 2 hours. They're called Is Coaching For You? And they're open mic. We explain all about the world of coaching, what it's like to be a coach, the pros, the cons, the ups, the downs, the income you can earn, the training you have to go through. People can ask any question they want. And then we say, look, if after this you are still interested, they have a coffee on Zoom with one of our course advisors. And these men and women are trained to find out exactly what type of course would best suit that individual. So they would have a, like any good university, we would have an intake session with them.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So you've got top of funnel where you don't you don't call out the specific ICP, if you like. It's just generally, is coaching, or could coaching be for you? And then as they go through the process, that's when you split them up into the right.
Indeed. Market. And we share, we have a menu, a prospectus, like a good university. We share our prospectus with all our programs, the length, what's required, the costings. The other thing we do that I'm so proud of, no other company does, we offer scholarships to all of our students worldwide. So everyone can apply for a scholarship. And we give a lot of 100% scholarships as well.
Okay, great. And those are for people who presumably can't afford.
Oh, yeah. You know, if you have a single mom raising children on benefits, life is difficult. They really want to qualify here. It might help them out of their situation. Then yes, absolutely. If you have a senior executive in a good paying job, they might get £100 scholarship. Someone else might get £2,000 or £3,000.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, Gerard, so for anyone who has listened to this and thought, I'm interested in becoming a coach, or actually I just want to see what you've got and work out whether there might be an option for me or to learn more, how do they get in contact with you?
I guess just go to the website, have a look. There's an inquiry form, and it's the www.noble-manhattan.com. So noble-manhattan.com. And just send an email, any question, and we would invite them to have a coffee on Zoom.
Okay. Well, we'll put a link to your website in the show notes anyway, so we'll make it nice and easy for everyone to get in touch.
Oh, thank you. Bless you.
It's been a pleasure to have you on as a guest. I found that conversation really interesting.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
Yeah, I wish you and both of your businesses all the best going forward.
Thank you very much. Look after yourself.
Thanks, Gerard.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. On that page, you'll find the link to apply.